You're listening to the Reach Right podcast, the show dedicated to helping pastors and church leaders reach people the right way. Hosted by me, Thomas Costello, and with me as always is my co-host, Ian Hyatt. We're here to help your church see more visitors and grow. Welcome to episode number 2 of the Reach Right podcast. I'm Thomas Costello, and my partner is
Ian Hyatt. Hey, guys.
Hey, how's it going? Hey, guys. So today we have a conversation we want to have around the Google grant. Maybe some of you know about it. Full disclosure here at Reach Right, Ian is our head of our sales department, and he does a lot of these conversations with pastors about the Google grant. And today we just want to talk a little bit about the Google grant. We find, would you say most churches know about it, Ian, or what do you find out there?
I'm really still surprised about how many churches don't know about it. So more are catching on, but it still is just something that I think most churches don't know about.
Yeah. Yeah. For those of you that don't know, the Google grant has been around for quite a while. And in a nutshell, it is a grant that Google gives to nonprofits, all nonprofits except for schools. Schools are a little bit different. Government agencies don't qualify either if you're a nonprofit. That's kind of an organization that goes both ways on that. But for nonprofits, including churches, they are eligible for a grant from Google. This has been going on since I think I learned about it in 2013. It's really kind of huge. It's $10,000 every single month is how much this grant is for. Now, it's not for anything that you could want to spend it on. People ask us that. Don't you hear people say, So you're just going to, Google's just going to send me $10,000?
That's so funny. I'm surprised how many times I get that question, just that they think that Google's cutting them a check for 10 grand a month. So
yeah, exactly. It's not that, but you get $10,000 to spend on their ad platform, which is their Google search platform. That's where you can spend that. And $10,000 goes a long way. The reason I know a lot [S2] Right. [S1] Of this is I was one of the early adopters. For those of you that don't know, I pastored a church in Madison, Wisconsin for 6 years before I left to do Reach Right full time and pursue some other things, moved across the country to Honolulu. But in that time there, we were very early adopters of the Google grant. And so I want to talk a little bit more about, I'll give you a little insight to how it worked for our church and what we did there. We'll talk a little bit about how you get it and some of those kinds of things today. But I really still think it's one of the best kept secrets out there that costs church nothing. It'll cost your church nothing. And if you can get it, which most churches can, I find, it really is up to $10,000 a month in free advertising to promote all kinds of things at your church there. I think it's been really great for a lot of churches. Full disclosure again. So at Reach Right, we have a service we provide where we help churches manage that, where we actually do the grant. Ian runs that whole department where we help churches through that process of getting started. This isn't going to be a sales pitch about that. We'd love to help your church if you're looking for some help with that. But really, this today is more about just getting you the ins and outs of it. And hopefully you can get up there and get on and sign up for something like that there. So, it's a really great program. I mentioned I first jumped on board with it in 2013. I was pastoring a really small church called The Journey. It was in Madison, Wisconsin. When I say small, it was small. Ian, you came and visited and preached there once, right? Yeah. So you can attest to its smallness.
It was small, but very friendly and warm, of course.
What's our saying? Don't despise humble beginnings, right?
That's right.
That's it. So, yeah, when I got to The Journey, there were 30 or 40 people on a typical Sunday, we had no visitors ever. We probably had one family that would show up every 1 or 2 months, but really it was just kind of the the frozen chosen that were there. And it was us. And our big challenge was getting visitors. And I had heard about this grant. And back in those days, there was a pretty lengthy process that doesn't exist anymore to get the grant. You had to jump through hoops. You had to actually write an essay. And I was really nervous about Google accepting us in their program with this. Nowadays, they have really streamlined the whole process. So you just really have to prove that you're a nonprofit and that you're not a school or a government agency.
Yeah.
And you can usually get the nonprofit. You can usually get the grant that way. We applied for it and took a little back and forth and finally got it. At first, we didn't get anything because the grant, if you don't know what you're doing, you don't invest the time to learn how Google AdWords works, which is a really dense product that has lots of information on it. It was challenging to try and figure all of that out. And so we didn't get anybody really ever showed up because we couldn't get any traction on the grant at all there. So what we wound up doing is we wound up hiring a guy who was a friend of mine. He went to our church there and he did Google ads for businesses vocationally. He does really good work. He still works with businesses, does a really good job with all that. So we hired him. And back in those days, it was pretty simple to do it. But he got in there and he was spending $6,000-$7,000 of free money in advertising in almost no time at our church there. So and what we found was really interesting. This is a little bit of practical advice should you get the grant. A lot of churches think, I'll get the grant and I'll put out some ads for churches and then maybe people will show up in that case. But it just doesn't work that way. There's only so many people that are typing in churches near me or churches in my city, that kind of stuff. What we had to do is we had to really target some keywords that weren't necessarily church specific. Here, let me tell you what our number one keyword was. A little bit of shop info on this. It was things to do in Madison. And we started to get those kinds of search results because people are looking for things to do with their kids on weekends or that kind of stuff. And we would start to pop up, you know, it would say looking for something to do in Madison. And we would come up and say, try this out on Sunday morning. We have the joke was that our first ad said something like rock and worship and relevant teaching. Do you remember that one, Ian?
Yeah.
Yeah. I got all kinds of pushback from our church because I was a new pastor at the time and they thought it was strange that we would say rockin' worship and relevant teaching when our worship wasn't necessarily rockin' at the time and we thought we were misleading people. But anyway, we tried several things in that whole season there, but and it was crazy. It wasn't an overnight process, but after maybe 8 months, 12 months, it just kind of snowballed from there. And we went from that church that was seeing almost no visitors to we'd start to see a visitor every week. And then we started to see two families show up every week. And after 4, 5, 6 years, I mean, the church really grew. And now we all know that it's not just this that made the church grow. There was lots of things that we were doing right outside of that. But we would see 4 visitors, 5 visitors, 6 visitors, and some of them were personal invitation, but I would still say the vast majority of them were coming to our church because they saw us online. And I remember this, we'd always have to play dumb a little bit where Ian and I, we're not for lying, obviously, right, Ian?
Right, right.
We're anti-lying. I'm not saying this, but people would come to church and they would say, it was so weird. I was just searching online for information about the farmer's market on Saturdays and I saw this ad and it must've been a total God thing. And they would say that. Yes. And we knew all along we were being very intentional about it. Right. We wanted to show up when people are looking for the farmer's market or other things to do. And so I just kind of smile and encourage them and not I wouldn't correct them. I would, I'd say, no, it wasn't God. It was me. I wouldn't say something like that. We'd try and be as honest as possible. But it was definitely something that, we start to see this really snowball to the point where our church, I mean, big picture, to give you a helicopter view, we went from having, 30 or 40 people on a Sunday to 150 people on average a few years later. Yeah. We did lots of things right. But one of the things we did most right was really nailing this grant. Yeah, I don't know. And you have some unique perspective, Ian, because I know you help a lot of churches through this process. What do you hear, you know, from our client, people that have walked through it? What are you hearing from them? How is it working for them?
Yeah, they're seeing great results too. And, you know, I think that they're always so excited whenever they understand kind of how the results are happening. You know, when we walk them through analytics, because that's one of the part, you know, that's one of the pieces of the puzzle with all of this, is that you'll have Google Analytics that actually show you, you know, how many clicks you're getting on these online ads and, you know, how many people are hitting your website and how long that they're staying there. And once we're able to kind of show that to a church and a pastor, when the light bulb goes off, they're ecstatic. And then they start to realize when they start seeing those analytics, they tie it to the people that actually either showed up, you know, on a Sunday, or during this time, with the whole pandemic and everything going on, just that people that ended up on the website and ended up watching a whole message and then filling out like an online connection card, things yeah. like that. And they, you know, so for a lot of churches that haven't traditionally done things like this, once they kind of understand it and we make it easy for them to understand and they see the results that they're getting, oh, they're ecstatic. And they're seeing, I remember one of the first churches we helped. You remember that church in New Orleans, Church on a Mission, Pastor Ryan yeah. Keller?
Yeah, young guy, right? Yeah. Were they at Ark Church, or what was their affiliation?
Ark Church, young, hip guy, and he and his wife just kind of parachuted into New Orleans. And one of their challenges is that they had a very, they were just in a bad location. You know, like a lot of church startups, they kind of had to take what they got as far as a location. They were meeting in some sort of a community center. And this place, when Ryan came our way, he told me it was just the most invisible place, I think is the way he put it, in New Orleans. It was just near these docks and just no one knew where it was. There was poor signage and everything. So one thing he realized was all the more reason he needed to be visible online when people are doing searches to be able to find the location. So when we kicked this off, and he, of course, had a great website. A lot of our churches do a really good job at that. Yeah. And he understood that was thing number one. But once we started funneling traffic there from the grant, I mean, they were starting to see, I mean, week one, he was so excited. He wrote in and said their first week, in running the grant, they saw 5 new people. And then the second week they saw 10, and then third week they saw 12 new people. So for them, that was, you know, it was amazing. They were getting, you know, they were only getting like 5 people a month before that. So right. It is something that works. We know everyone's Googling everything, and Ryan understood that, Pastor Ryan. And so it's a very exciting thing when churches actually see the results from it.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. So I think one of the challenges is that, you know, just there's two hurdles, I guess, to really use the grant fully. The first one is just getting it. And there's a few little hoops you have to jump through to actually go through getting the grant. If you guys, we can put this, if you're watching on video, you will put the link in the description below so you could see how to get this. But we created a tool to check to see if you're eligible or not. It's at reachrightstudios.com/grant-eligibility-checker. But there'll be a link down below. If you're listening on audio, that's where you can check that. So anybody can go check and see on there if you're eligible or not. And then you can go ahead and go to Google and get applied, or we'd be happy to help you guys get applied if you're looking for that help. But just there's a few hoops they make you jump through in that. Most of the churches we talk to, they run into an issue in getting it and just having all the paperwork that they need. What we find is that what Google looks for is they're looking for an EIN number, and then it has to be a verified nonprofit. And what a lot of churches struggle with is that when you're part of a denomination, in most cases, the nonprofit status comes through the denomination, not on the individual church level. So there's a little bit of documentation that we help churches to secure and get all that. But once we get through that hurdle, in most cases, it's pretty easy to get the grant. And so that's the first challenge. I think the other one is the one we were talking about earlier of Google Analytics for sure, but also Google AdWords is a really sophisticated program that if you come in again expecting to just target people looking for churches in your area, we have a lot of clients that tried this on their own, doing that at first, and that was their strategy. And realistically, that might get you $30 to $50 of spend every month. So you're given $10,000 every month. Yeah. If you just go with that strategy, I'd say, does that sound right to you? At about $30 to $50 is what people spend.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Yeah. And so what really churches need to do, and here's the biggest piece of advice we have for you, is get much broader than that. You need to target keywords that are still somehow tied to you. You can't just throw out any keyword you can possibly think of. And I had people come to me and say, hey, what if we started to target porn? If people are searching for porn topics and they had our church come up. And in theory, I love the way they're thinking. That's a great idea. I think if we're targeting those kinds of things, the problem is that you need to make sure that your landing page is relevant to that search. And most churches, there's some ways around this, but most churches don't have porn related pages on their sites, rightfully. Right. You probably shouldn't have that content on your site. Now, I did talk to one church that they made a porn addiction type page that they tied in with this here, and then they drove a lot of their ad traffic to a porn addiction and porn recovery page. Love those kinds of ideas. I heard another story from a pastor that was in Alabama, and they made a divorce care. They did one of those divorce care ministries, and they made a page dedicated to divorce care ministry, a lot of content on their site. And they started targeting keywords around divorce. And after a while, they started coming up above all of the divorce attorneys in their town. So there's really some pretty cool things that you can do if you think that way. But don't just think, I'll just send anybody looking for porn to our homepage on our website and that'll work. That doesn't work with the grant, because what Google does is they, and this is going to be a little bit technical for a lot of our audience, but maybe if this is helpful to you, I hope it does help. What Google does is they insist that all of your ads have at least a 5% click-through ratio. So if your ad doesn't have 5% of people that see it clicking over to the actual content, they're going to assume that your content isn't really relevant to them. And so they limit people just using every single keyword with that kind of a strategy. And there's a lot of qualifications and things that Google, a lot of guidelines that they're really sticklers on. They're going to make sure that you stay within those guidelines, or else they're going to cancel the grant on you and you'll have to reapply and go through some of those things. And but yeah, there's a lot of interesting strategies that we've seen out there that a lot of churches have used with this kind of a thing. So so beyond that, I know that there's a lot of stories that we've heard from clients, but I think one of the neat things, on average, I'll say that most of our clients were still not able to get the full $10,000 spend. A few of them in really high density areas, like if you're in the middle of New York City or Dallas, Texas, or San Francisco, if you're a really densely populated area, usually we can get more search volume there as opposed to rural areas. But I think our average church, when you're using some of these strategies, they're spending $4,000, $5,000, $6,000 a month of, let me make this clear, this is totally free money. This is something that you don't have to pay anything for this at all. It's something that churches just, Google gives this to you to use on their platform because they want to support nonprofits. And I've heard some ideas on other reasons why they might be doing this, but I think it's something that, really, I don't know. I'd say that most churches should take advantage of it. You agree?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, they should. And it is an amazing opportunity. And I think that one of the things you touched upon that I did want to hit home on too, because when a church starts exploring this, there's, as you mentioned, requirements that Google has that they need to be in place to get the grant. One of those too is really a functional website. And because we hear from so many churches that are excited about the grant, they got some information on it. And that is one of the qualifications too, other than being, a nonprofit and set up that way. It's to have a functional website that is secure. And a lot of churches, I'm so astonished and shocked about how many churches still don't have a website in this day and age. And so that's thing number one. And it gets back to what you were talking about with relevant content. That's where the content lives, on this website. So without having a website and that content, you're really not going to see the best results. So often we have to kind of back up and have that conversation. And unfortunately, a lot of pastors feel like they, even if they have a website, if they have just something up there with a few pages, they feel like that's going to be enough. And it's really not. Google's smart, and they're looking for a lot more. They're giving precedence to other church websites that are functional and secure and have better content. And so we always have that conversation too. And so it's what this does, you know, the benefit of the grant too, is it makes you evaluate your full web presence, what you're doing, you know, at the church online. And so we like to have that conversation too, as you know, Thomas, and to make sure that that's in really good shape, because when you have your website dialed in with great content that is focused on these people that are coming and looking for, searching for what they're looking for, it's going to engage them and help them to take that next step. So,
yeah, the saying, it's been the saying for years now, is content is king. And I don't know that I totally understood that. I mean, it was always, you know, it's important to make content, and that's good content is important. But this, especially with the grant, it makes all the difference. To go back to what you were saying before about there's a qualification for a secure website. And what that means, the specifics on that, is you have to have an SSL certificate on your site. Mm-hmm. The easiest way to tell on that is when you see your address, if it's HTTPS, that means that you have a SSL certificate on there. You'll see that little lock on Google Chrome. If it's just HTTP:// that means you're not, you do not have an SSL certificate, and you could not qualify. In most cases, that's pretty easy, not a real expensive fix to get that secured. But over and above just the site security, you are dead right about content is the key to this here. One of the things we did at The Journey is we made a prayer page. And on that prayer page, it wasn't just a sentence and then a prayer form, but we actually spent some time to explain the value of prayer, what we believed about prayer. There was some text along with that. And then we made kind of a promise. If you filled out this prayer form, that we would pray with you, pray for the situation. We just kind of listed all the things that we do when, so we receive a prayer request. That was one of our really big grant spending places too, is that people in our community looking for prayer, we became kind of that hub for our entire city, that we got on average, I'd say 10 to 15 different prayer requests a day. We actually had to, this sounds strange, we had to actually change our staffing situation a little bit to accommodate that, because what I didn't want to do is I didn't want to have a thing where people submitted prayer requests and then we didn't do anything, right? That's evil, in my opinion. If we say we're going to pray for someone, we want to actually do it. So I had to set up our staff to dedicate someone to spend an hour or two just looking at these prayer requests, making sure they're all read, spending some time praying for them. Sometimes there were really urgent needs that we could pass along. But sometimes there were prayer requests that came in that looked for follow-up. Like, so people that were, you know, right there next to our church. I remember one guy, he was right next to our church and he asked for prayer that he would be able to find a job because he just got laid off. And that let me, as the pastor of the church, reach out to him, follow up. Maybe you have a staff person at your church audience out there that can do that, but you could follow up with him. And we invited him to church, and he came a couple times, never got really plugged in, but it was really cool to make that kind of a connection. And those are the kind of things that I think we can do with the Google grant as we continue to get creative with that. So another thing, I've looked a lot at our data on this, and I'll say this too. So after I mentioned in my story before with The Journey is that we hired someone to do it. Well, that person, he became one of our staff members at ReachRight to help us manage these grants for churches. And since then, we've added other staff people that help us manage all of these grants for churches. And we've learned a ton. That's the thing, is we have like, 8 years of experience managing these grants now. And we've seen tons of stuff that didn't work. That's the way a lot of these grant things are, is you try to, with Google AdWords, you try and throw a lot of stuff on the wall and see what sticks. And 1 out of 10 of our ideas will really kill it. But 9 out of 10 of them will get almost nothing. You know, we just let those go. We do lots of testing with that. But what I was getting at is that at The Journey, we tried a lot of these things. And one of the topics that there. And what we see working best for a lot of our churches now is just general spiritual topics. So people are typing things in your community into Google right now, like what should I do about Jehovah's Witnesses or Mormons? So we get a lot of things related to cults and some of that kind of stuff that come up on there. We see lots of people just looking for information on scripture resources, on Bible teaching, those kinds of topics. And anytime you can get your church website to answer those questions, that is a huge win when it comes to the Google grant there. So, I think that's something that I agree with you. I think just about every church should do it. If you're not currently qualified because your website isn't up to grade or something like that, that's probably a problem you need to fix and then get be able to take advantage of this. And my thinking about this is we talk to churches all the time, and we're in the church marketing business. I really think that the first dollars that every church should spend on advertising should be getting your website ready to take advantage of this. And you have no business spending tons of money on Facebook or certainly things like mailers or other legacy type advertising products before you're fully utilizing this Google grant, because it's free. I mean, it's free money that we're talking about that every church should take advantage of it, right?
Yeah. And I think on top of that too, Thomas, that I think most pastors now and churches realize that the internet is where it's at. It's where people are looking for answers. It's where people are doing their homework. It's where people are living and doing everything all day and interacting all day. And getting back to kind of what we've talked about during this corona crazy season that we're in, one positive thing that the coronavirus has done is for these traditional churches that haven't realized the power of online marketing and web and all of that, it's forced them into that. So I think now, you know, the light bulb has gone off as far as the need to traffic more people online to your web presence and get them engaged there, keep them connected there. And so that's the neat thing about this. And I think that's why a lot of people are becoming aware of the grant now too, because of they're realizing that for the first time in a while. And many churches realized this before the pandemic came and everything as well. So, it is definitely, like you said, Thomas, the first line item in the budget should be this, and it should be online marketing. So that's a good point.
I heard Kerry Newhoff recently. I was reading a post from him, and he was talking about how churches really need to reevaluate their budgets right now because, you know, for most churches, 30, 40, 50% of it was going towards building-oriented expenses. And for the last 3 or 4 months, and who knows how many more months, the building is at least serving much less of a purpose for churches right now. And it really is, you know, we've always said the church isn't the building, but now we really get to prove it, right? We can show that that's where we really meant that kind of stuff. And so Kerry was talking about how it's important to maybe revisit how you're spending your money. He threw out a number of like 30% of your staffing budget maybe should be going towards digital digital purposes, not just marketing, but everything you're doing on social, producing your sermon videos, those kinds of things. But man, this is something, again, it's free, so you don't have to spend a lot of money on this here, but there is nothing more digital than doing marketing through Google. It is much more sophisticated than it's a much smarter way to market, I think, than old school, whether it be doing mailers. Ian and I, we started with a company originally when we started working together. We sold television commercials to churches back in the day, which I don't even know if we should say this, but we still do have those television commercials, but I don't necessarily recommend that unless you really have a reason for it and you can convince me of it, we don't recommend you buy them. But we did those kinds of legacy marketing approaches, but digital marketing makes so much more sense because there's so much more information. You can be so much more targeted. Facebook marketing, we do some of that. I think churches should be getting into those kinds of areas. Instagram marketing on social media platforms. But Google is unique in that it's targeting people not based on their characteristics of who they are, but it's about what they're actually looking for, the intent of what they're going after. And so you get this beautiful piece of information. Like we always talk about how people are most receptive to the gospel in times of maybe transition or tragedy or when they have major life things happening. And here we get to look for people typing those kinds of questions into a search engine and be the result that comes up. It really is an unprecedented time. One of the most amazing times to do ministry, I would say.
Yeah, that's really powerful, Thomas. And I think it's always good knowing that we serve, you know, the church world and pastors are listening to this, that we're not, you know, we're not neglecting the fact that, you know, God's first delight is using us as vessels and sharing the gospel with people, connecting with people and loving on people. But guess what? Even when we do that and we're able to have a personal conversation, whether or not it's with or without a mask these days, there's the natural thing that someone's still going to do after that is they're going to go online, they're going to pick up their phone, they're going to Google, and they're going to, and so that's still going to happen even after a personal touch. So this is a very powerful thing. And we're seeing now more than ever, like you said, these people in a struggle, whether or not it's health or losing their job and everything that else is that's going on right now, in the world, they're going into a search engine and doing these types of searches.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So, well, here's the homework, the assignment, guys. I don't know how much more strongly I can tell this to you, but I really, as a user, as someone who helps other churches do it, as someone who has seen the benefit of it personally in our church, get the Google Grant, take advantage of it. It is going to help your church reach more people, just to say it really plainly. I think if you want to spend the time to learn how to do it yourself, more power to you. That is fantastic. If you want to invest in having someone help you with it, we'd be happy to do that. There's other businesses that do it also, but that's really something that we specialize in here at Reach Right. But we'll leave some descriptions, some links in the description down below if you're watching this on video on where you can apply for the Google Grant, where you can check your eligibility with us here at Reach Right. If you're looking for some more help, please get in touch with us. But I think for today, we'll leave it at that. Does that sound good, Ian?
Sounds great, Thomas. This has been good. Very informative. We're happy to help, guys.
All right. Thanks again, guys, for watching or listening, and we'll see you next week. Thanks for listening to the Reach Right podcast. We hope this episode will help you reach people the right way. Looking for more resources for your church? Check us out online at reachrightstudios.com. If this episode has been helpful to you, it would mean the world to us if you would rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next week.